Welcome to this latest Critify podcast. It's number 8 in this Leadership with New Horizons series. I'm Emma Carroll, Managing Editor at Critify, and I'm pleased to be catching up with Matthew Blagg, Critify's CEO, just a short while after our recent CFO retreat. Matthew, I've really been looking forward to this catch-up, and it was so energising, wasn't it, to get a function room full of CFOs together again. There was a great atmosphere.
There was an amazing atmosphere. I think that, as we all know, the colour's been draining out through a virtual lens. And I think the ability for everyone to come together and to share stories, experiences and stories, it's just so important. Now, the reality is it was also a globally connected retreat, so people could dial in from anywhere in the world, and we had all the continents represented. And I think that's so exciting, that sort of hybrid element, which we're in or coming towards, is particularly exciting. We're obviously particularly fortunate at the moment in the UK that we could come together, which isn't the case necessarily in all markets at the moment. But it was a real refreshment for everyone there. And there was a sense of being a part of something and that immersive experience, which is so exciting. And I think that also rolled into the virtual audience. And that was the feedback that I think we got from CFOs who weren't able to be there in person, but they were able to engage virtually. I think it was more interactive and more experienced than a normal closed virtual environment. So yeah, no, it was wonderful. And everyone left on a high, didn't they, Emma?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So shall we pull out some of the big themes of the day? And also maybe we could combine it with the general conversations we're having with our members at the moment too. That sound good?
I think that's great.
Brilliant. Okay. In which case, we did ask the CFO some polls on the day. So I thought I'd pull out some of those interesting stats. And as we're heading towards the end of 2021, one of the big themes of the year has been mental health. And one of the polls we asked on the day, we asked about burnout. And 65% of CFOs there said that burnout of senior leaders was having a negative impact on business performance. I mean, huge figure. The HRD forum recently, it was actually 85%. So even larger. Is that something you're hearing about still at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite shocking, the volumes. I think there's always a degree of burnout, and it's November, so there's always a higher degree in November than there is in certain other months of the year. But I don't think we should underestimate those statistics. I think it's a real reflection of the mental challenges that there have been created over the last 18 months. The pressure to perform and the challenges to operate in a virtual world where you've got such a varying degree of challenge. And I think particularly in the CFO arena, the pressure on them to produce information flow has been extremely extreme. I also think you're seeing the challenges of the people agenda and burnout in there in terms of their teams. And that's obviously putting more pressure on those that are there. And obviously there is this element of people moving around as well, which I think sort of accentuates that. So I think those statistics are revealing, and I think that pretty well anyone would openly say they're more tired than they would normally be. And I think that's just incredible, that sort of state of mind that everyone's in at the moment.
Yeah, and you talked there about people moving around, and when we caught up earlier in the year, you were seeing a lot of churn.
Yeah.
Are you still seeing that churn? Do you expect it to continue?
Well, it's interesting, and to benchmark, I've had several conversations with CEOs and CFOs and chairs recently, and they present quite a mixed picture. I think that the element is certain skills are in massive demand, and so that churn, I think, is just through the roof. And there you're into the obvious things of data science, you know, certain coding skills and that sort of stuff. I think it's a little bit more of a mixed picture now coming through, because I think that early churn of I haven't been able to move has probably happened. And I think there is then this more interesting degree of change around the alignment and whether you're in an organization where there's clear purpose. And so I think that it's probably stabilizing a little bit in that sense. I think what you are seeing is you're still seeing, and that's probably accelerating, executives that are finishing their career because actually they're looking at the road ahead they're looking at the intensity with pressure coming, probably going up, and saying, actually, financially, with asset appreciation that's gone through the roof in 2021, I don't necessarily need to work anymore. And as such, I'm going to step out and I want a different career ahead. And I think that is absolutely going on. You're seeing a significant number of CEOs stepping out. You're seeing a significant number of CFOs stepping out. And that probably will carry on into the new year as a sort of, hopefully, the movement increases and then individuals reassess their balance.
Okay, lovely. It'd be great to catch up with you about that in the new year and follow up on that pattern. Another people question, collaboration. We asked about that, and CFO said, we asked them about what the biggest barrier to collaboration was in their organisation, and they by far said culture and people. Those two things added up to 65% in total. And I was a little bit surprised, because I always hear CFOs talking about broken systems, broken processes, but those things didn't come up nearly so high. So do you think business culture has suffered as a result of COVID and maybe the hybrid working thing? Is that getting in the way of collaboration?
I think that most people will openly articulate that productivity is down. And I think that's an output of the pressure and the challenges that are under. I think that we've got probably two different elements. In a lot of ways, the culture that we've had in a virtual world has been incredibly collaborative. You know, most leaders have been more engaged technically in their organization than they would have been in a physical environment. And technically, that capability to be collaborative, I think, is enhanced in a virtual world. On the other side of the equation, nearly everyone would say that you don't get the same buy-in and emotional support to something that's virtual, that there isn't the engagement levels, and the collaborative elements wane as time goes on. And I think that probably both of those things are true. I think if you look at great teams now, they're blending really well. And I was really excited to spend time with a group HR director of a FTSE 100 company just last week, and they've contracted everyone on a new hybrid model, and that's globally. And that for me was really exciting, because that means that we're coming up with solutions, which is not looking at problems. And I think a lot of organizations are still looking at things, and there's a lot of difference of opinion around the collaborative model that they want, culture, people, and hybrid, in-person, virtual. And I think the more alignment there is, an open debate on that, I think the stronger the organization is that emerges.
Yeah, that definitely reflects the day. I think we had a session on hybrid working and that involved culture, and the CFOs wouldn't stop talking about it afterwards. We had other topics, but they just wanted to talk about it and debate it. So,
well, there's such potential with it. I mean, I think that what was great to see on the CFO retreat was that the language around the Ford agenda was more positive than negative. Mm-hmm. And yes, there was the tired elements and the exhausted came through, but there was also the opportunity piece.
Yes.
And I think change creates massive opportunity. And I think you are now leaning towards winners and losers, and those winners and losers emerging stronger and stronger. And I think that capital flows faster into that. And I think organizations that are harnessing the best of both worlds are in a really, really exciting position as we plan towards 2022. And that came out, I think, clearly in terms of the retreat and CFOs where that debate and alignment is going on and clear, and others where they're still in the formative phase. And I think that's more of a challenge.
Okay, thank you. And you talked about opportunities there. Another of the big opportunities that came up on the day was external collaboration, partnerships. We heard a lot about building ecosystems of partners with people who aren't sort of bringing expert skills into your business. Are you hearing leaders talk a lot more about external collaboration at the moment?
I think that was probably going on anyway with the deeper intensity around technology, AI elements. I think that that we've had a massive acceleration on that path, haven't you? So I think organizations recognize their competencies, and they're also recognizing that they've got opportunities outside of that, but in order to realize them, then they need to have a collaborative culture. And I think that because we're in this massively exciting sort of environment around new business models, mainly built around the shift towards net zero, I think that everyone has this really interesting and exciting opportunity to reposition themselves. And I think that nowhere is that more obvious than in the car industry, where you'd have had static traditional cars, whereas now that collaborative model is going to be key. Because, you know, the way we've consumed as a consumer of a vehicle is going to be different going forward. And that reimagination is really exciting. The ability for you to think in a collaborative cultural way, I think, is really key. And that's being driven by governments. We saw it at COP, that real drive towards common alignment and working together on initiatives is absolutely essential. And so yes, I think the collaborative culture is here to stay. It's not easy, though. And I think that really understanding how to make that really work for you as an organization, particularly a large traditional business that probably has its strength has been its size, I think that becomes a real challenge. And effectively, if you've got a very internal culture. And so again, that's really some of the key challenges we see at the moment.
Yeah, I would really agree with you. I think some of the interesting points that came up were about leaders' fear of losing control, of losing IP. But perhaps another one which I thought was really interesting was also an ego thing, not necessarily wanting to admit that their business wasn't best at everything. Yeah. Is that something you've come across?
I think traditionally that would have been very much the sort of leadership cult, wouldn't it, in terms of a very hard KPI-based business models, and where effectively there's almost a confidence / arrogance that exudes, and where to a certain extent the internal culture was what created the external opportunity. So if you take a lot of large multinationals, that would have been the culture. I think now that's breaking down, and I think that yes, having a strong internal culture is important, but only if it's connected to the external marketplace and those reference points. And I think you're seeing that particularly, and I think that came across in the feedback from the CEO retreat about the need for CFOs to be embedded in the commercial business and as such really driving the business forward. And I think that's all part of the same journey. So we're absolutely at that point where that engagement has got to be really aligned and you're driving towards the future.
Okay, thank you. And when we caught up earlier in the year as well, we talked about stakeholder demands, and you were saying that our shareholders were going to be demanding a lot higher performance after kind of a bit of patience during the height of COVID. And we asked another poll at the retreat, and CFO said that shareholders are definitely bearing down on growth. 72% said that it was growth they were bearing down on, 18% ESG, 10% the dividend. Does that reflect what you're finding?
I think it does. I think that we're still in the lull before the storm would be my view. What do I mean by that? You know, generally, capital markets have had a very strong year. Generally, if you look at asset valuations, they've gone up significantly in pretty well any asset class. You're now creating some of the anomalous elements around that, which I think creates some challenges. So massive inflationary costs coming in. So I think that is particularly relevant for most leaders. So I think you're beginning to see that pressure coming in. And then that's the real element for you to demonstrate that you've got a performing business. The scrutiny levels will become higher. Now, the real question mark is whether if we're moving towards higher interest rates, what the implication is, because that growth rate then becomes under even more scrutiny. And so up until now, I think in a lot of ways that pressure is built to a natural level. I think that leaders probably have a sort of normal balance around stakeholder pressures. I think we're coming towards a more difficult environment for that with regard to more traditional stakeholder challenges.
Yeah, and I mean, cost inflation, growth, interest rates, CFOs have never been more valuable, have they? The pressure's not going down.
We're still in a weird world with COVID. Supply chain issues are all over the spot, where generally most people's view is that it'll be 2023, even if COVID dissipates, for that to normalise. So it is a really fluid environment. And I think that in nearly all sectors, we're not sure what the customer behaviour is as we go into next year. And that, I think, is the really interesting frisson that you've got. as the CFO, which is, you know, your job is to provide accuracy of numbers, and everyone is now expecting for guidance. So I think you've got some nervous CFOs right now on their for guidance, because it's still a very difficult visibility in terms of things, especially around the cost base. I think it's coming back much faster than people thought.
Okay, thank you, Matthew. And I think that the ESG figure as well was interesting. It was only 18% said that ESG was the biggest area of focus. I will be really, really interested to see if that changes next year, because there's a lot of governance changes coming in that are going to be facing the CFO next year. So perhaps we could revisit that.
I think that's probably because they feel comfortable in that area to a large extent, because there is quite a lot of a structure around that already. And so it's not to diminish it, but I think that it's probably something where they feel they've got a handle on that. I think that the pace of change and the consumer change, and there was a big discussion that links from the CEO retreat to the CFO retreat about consumer behavior and how much they're going to lead on some of those things. I think that's a bigger issue for the CFO, because actually I think that if the consumer starts changing choices because of certain agendas, I think that's a really interesting one. And the organizations that are ahead of that, I think, are in a really exciting place.
Okay, no, that's really interesting. I think one of the areas I'll definitely be writing about a lot next year is ecosystems and innovation. We've talked about customers there and how important customers are going to be. Are there any other big topics that you would pull out that you think we'll be looking at as we head into 2022?
Well, I think you've got this, the people agenda is going to be front and center of I think all organizations, and that hybrid element on that operating model, I think is going to be really, really, really interesting. I think the key is that you've got a really strong, robust and aligned executive and board. And I think, again, a lot of the things that have gone on over the last 2 years will be exposed next year. What I would say for organizations now, if you're not fully aligned and if you're not having really healthy debate about these things, then I think that I would be very concerned. And so I think what you can see of CFOs really making sure that you're having really strong strategic debate, making sure the information flow is in the right place, and that there's real challenge with the non-executives and the chairman and the executive team to make sure that you're all aligned is really essential.
Mm. And do you think that challenge has been stronger during COVID?
I think that in a lot of ways there was an alignment through that, which was positive. I think that we've then gone through a period where I think that probably continue with the more virtual model, where I think that gets stretched because actually begins to be a gap between both sides. And I think that the great teams now are back together and running more physically together. And I think it's not so much the physical meeting. I think that's all replicated virtually, but it's the coffee moment. It's the meal afterwards. It's the breakfast before, which I think is so crucial as you go into debate. And there's been so many examples that we've seen where effectively the people have changed that are in decision making to mean that actually there isn't the visibility of how the team works, and they have to rebuild some team elements. And so that team culture piece, I think, has still got some work in process.
Okay. And does the CFO have a big role to play in that, would you say, as well, that team building?
Massively. Yeah. Both for their own team and for the ExCo. And I think, again, you know, again, the great CFOs are at the centre of that, ensuring the information flows around, upskilling the team, and very much being a front-footed team player. But I think generally, actually, CFOs are quite team-oriented. I think it's about making sure that they can communicate in that positive way. Sometimes they can be in the control element. And again, I think making sure they've got that balance right. And I think that feeds into their own team underneath them, making sure that they've got the competence and skills to mean that they can lead more. What you do see is the need for people to lead more. There's a lot of discussion about people dropping into tactics over the last 18 months. And now you've got to really have a 3-5 year plan and you've got to make sure you as a leader don't drop down, because otherwise you're going to be consumed, because the volume of stuff coming to you, that if you go into the engine room, it's just going to capture you. You've got to be strategic. You've got to be able to think. You've got to inject energy into the organization, and you've got to make sure your teams have enough time to reflect.
That's really interesting. It kind of leads on to our final subject and one of our favorites as well, external insight. Because if you're dropping down into that depth, it's hard to get above the parapet and to look out and to draw on other insight, isn't it?
Well, there's always this challenge on all of these things. There's contradictory elements whereby it's by nature leaders get pulled back into the organization. There's points when that's fair and right. There's points when it's actually something that you feel comfortable in. And generally, it's really important that leaders get out of the operational side of the business and are able to spend the time that they need to on driving the business forward. So you have to be curious. And again, if you take the CFO retreat and CEO retreat, unified viewpoint, that curiosity is key. Constant learning. I had a great interview with a non-executive at the end of the CFO retreat, as you know, who is still very much learning and curious. And for me, I think that's so important culturally in your organization. And for the CFO, you've got to be curious, which means you've got to be external. You've got to be thinking outside your own narrow constraints. You've got to have different access points, and you've got to put some time aside to do that.
I really like that curious word, because it's very upbeat as well as it's quite playful. It's an interesting perspective. The poll that we did in that area, 44% of CFOs said that their leadership teams were still struggling to pull external insight in. Any tips for them?
Well, I think that you know, that people can try and do things in a complex way, whereas actually it's a simple way. You know, bring experts into your meetings to act as a sounding board and put their views across. And virtually now, that's really easy to do. You know, we do our pop-up boards, which is that critique, but that critiquing changes the way that people look at things. And I think at times people can be a little bit lazy, and don't be. You know, fresh ideas make you think differently. They also reconfirm your own thoughts. That's fine. You know, at the end of the day, doesn't mean to say that a difference of opinion isn't going to make you reaffirm your own decision, but you'll do it with more confidence. And I do think that's so important. And I think we can all get sucked into, I haven't got the time, so I'm just going to get on with it. And I think that's a mistake, especially as we go into an environment where you're going to have a really strong capability to change to an adjusting, changing world. And I think that reflection capability is key.
Brilliant. A really pressured time, but also a really exciting time coming up for CFOs. So I look forward to chatting to you about that again soon, Matthew. The next time we'll be catching up, we've got our Asia Leadership Forum this week. So I will be catching up to reflect on that soon. So I look forward to that as well.
I'm looking forward to it, Emma. You take care. And actually, happy Christmas.
Oh, happy Christmas. Thank you, Matthew. That was my first one of the year. Bye-bye.
Bye.